For more information or requests for audio files of previous shows, go to www.bobharden.com.
Thanks so much for joining us here on the show. It's brought to you in part by Florida Weekly, your complimentary copy available at hundreds of locations throughout the Paradise Coast, as well as the Greater Naples Chamber of Commerce. Coming up, we're going to visit with Ashley Dobson. She is the deputy editor of Red Alert Politics. Right now, we have with us Larry Reed. He is the president of the Foundation for Economic Education. Larry, thank you so much for joining us.
It's always a pleasure, Bob.
Thank you, Larry. And for our listeners that may not be familiar with your terrific organization, the Foundation for Economic Education, maybe you could tell us about it.
I'd be happy to. We're an educational foundation, 501c3 under the IRS code, which means we raise money. We don't get it from government at any level. Our mission is to advance the ideas of individual liberty, personal character, private property, and small government, primarily to young people in the age bracket of about 14 to 26.
You've got a terrific mission, Larry. Now, you've written some what we're going to call cliches of progressivism. The latest, which I really found interesting, is Jesus Christ was a progressive because he advocated income redistribution to help the poor. What about it?
Yes, this is the latest in a weekly series that we run on the FEE website, FEE.org, every Friday. And they deal with various myths, misconceptions, cliches, if you will, that those of a progressive persuasion argue in favor of.
Right.
And sometimes they tell us that, well, Christ would have been a progressive or a socialist even because he was for the poor and wanted to help them. But, of course, that's a very superficial view, and as I try to show in this essay, he never, ever, not even once, argued for the state or government to come in and take from some and give to others. He never said that charity could be the result of compulsory activity of government. He implored people to care for those around them and to help them, but he never said, call the government and expect that third party, through the money it gets through coercive taxation, to solve the problem that you can better solve if you get involved with yourself.
That's right. In fact, reminds me of the book In His Steps, which at one time was the largest selling book in the history of published materials, aside from the Bible, published by an English author. But it was the precursor to the social gospel and to the government getting involved in all kinds of programs like this. But it made the case at the time for the fact that Jesus was in fact somewhat of a socialist. I mean, there's a myriad of quotes from the Bible that demonstrate that in fact he was not a socialist.
Yeah, that's right. He was confronted in one case in the book of Luke with a man who said, Master, speak to my brother that he divideth the inheritance with me. In other words, hey, use your influence or your power to divide things up, redistribute wealth on my behalf. And Christ, who could have simply waved his hand and equaled the wealth between the two men at that moment, instead, he decides to take the man on for his envy. And his famous reply was, Man, who made me a judge or divider over you? So when he had a chance to be a redistributor or was specifically requested to do it, he instead upbraided the man who sought that redistribution. He upbraided him for his envy.
Right. In fact, one of the Ten Commandments, the eighth, is thou shalt not steal. And, of course, he was his admonishments to all was you shouldn't steal unless the other guy wasn't that you should steal unless the other guy has more than you do.
That's right. Or don't steal unless you're absolutely sure you can spend it better than the guy to whom it belongs. Or thou shalt not steal unless you can find a politician who will take it for you and bestow it on whomever you wish. I mean, it says thou shalt not steal, period. No
right.
Ifs, ands, or buts.
So, and then how about the Good Samaritan?
Yeah, great story. And we all remember it as a man walking along a road in a remote area, and he came upon a man who had been beaten and robbed and was left nearly dead. And what the Good Samaritan did was he pitched in immediately with his own resources, his own efforts, and helped the man. That's why we think of him to this day as a Good Samaritan. Now, if he had said to the man in the gutter, sorry, I've got other things to do. It's not my responsibility. Why don't you call the emperor or go see your social worker? he would be known to this day as the good-for-nothing Samaritan.
Yeah. So many people who refer to Jesus as a progressive are citing the fact that in the book of Acts that he admonished early Christians to sell their worldly goods and share communally all the proceeds.
Yeah, there's a kernel of truth to that. I mean, the early Christians were called upon to sell much, not all. They continued to meet, for instance, in their private homes, but not all of their goods were they commanded to sell. But that was a high bar, and that was because Christ was looking for the earliest of leaders in the church to really put all their heart and soul into the important work they were about to undertake. He didn't compel it. And even in the case of Ananias and Sapphira, people like to point to that and say, well, they didn't sell everything and they were struck down. Well, the fact is they were struck down because they lied, because they said they had sold things and didn't.
Mm.
And Christ could not have, as the early leaders of the church, people who were liars.
So if there was anybody who believed in free markets and free will, it had to be through the parable of the talents.
That's right, a great story in which Christ talks about several men, and it's clear that the one who takes his wealth and buries it, effectively getting zero return but protecting the principal, he's the one who gets disciplined and sort of put down. But the one who goes off, takes some entrepreneurial risk, and invests and generates the highest return on his wealth, he's the one who's praised and rewarded in the parable of the talents. So if Christ wanted to make an anti-wealth point, he would have had the guy who didn't generate anything, he would have had him be the hero, but quite the opposite.
Of course, sir, in Matthew 19:23, Christ says, truly I tell you, it will be hard for a rich person to get into the kingdom of heaven somehow. And in some ways, it sounds like he's admonishing those that have wealth.
That's right. What he's really saying is, remember that wealth, as is the case with so many other things in society, wealth carries with it some temptations. Well, you can think of a lot of things in life that have both good and bad to them. You could say sex has temptations. That doesn't mean you should never engage in it.
Right, exactly.
So what he was saying was, don't let it go to your head. Don't let it rule you. But he was not saying, if you have wealth, you're not going to heaven because wealth is somehow evil. Not at all.
So it just seems to me that the progressives, I mean, in many cases, to have compassion, to care for the poor, to want to solve the problems in the world, I mean, clearly that could be on the agenda for progressives. It's also on the agenda for people who believe in free markets and limited government. It's just that the process is different. It's as if progressives can mandate outcomes just by passing laws, whereas those that are more thoughtful, in my view, And Christ himself would simply say, look, you know, if you have true compassion, give of what you have. Don't depend on the government to do it.
That's right. The bottom line is that progressives pretty much just talk about helping the poor. They really don't do it. And what they prescribe that government should do to help the poor usually doesn't work. It breeds dependency, demagoguery, vote buying, and usually a lot of debt and unsustainable financial shenanigans. Whereas the non-progressive says, look, I care about the poor too. I care enough to not put the care of the poor in the hands of politicians. My gosh, I mean, they're the last people you'd want to put someone, put over someone that you claim you want to help. Get involved yourself.
Oh, my goodness. Just the examples are legion when you think about reasons not to put programs like the Veterans Administration in the hands of the government. It just has very poor outcomes. Larry, I genuinely appreciate you coming on the show. I'm going to encourage our listeners to go to fee.org, F-E-E.org. Check out Cliches of Progressivism and all the other wonderful things on the website. Larry, always a pleasure to have you on the show. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Bob.
All right, have a great day. Coming up, we're going to be visiting with Ashley Dobson. She is the deputy editor of Red Alert Politics. That and more right here on The Bob Harden Show on the Bob Harden Broadcasting Network.
Stay tuned for more of The Bob Harden Show here on the Bob Harden Broadcasting Network.